All right. This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. And I'm here today. We're in our windowless bunker in Casper, Wyoming, and I'm looking out the window of the windowless Winnebago, the Wormabago, the Mobile Command Unit Recording and Broadcast Center. And we're looking at a squirrel on a telephone pole. We just took a picture of it. We're going to post it on the interweb soon. We're at the Westside Walmart, so if you see us today, come on by. We're in the parking lot. It's the Winnebago with the giant satellite dish on the roof. If you see us there, come by and say hi and have some coffee if the on-air light is off. And we'd love to meet you. And today, we have, filling in for Mr. Nima Vedati, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker from badquaker.com, in his Wormabago. Ben, how are you doing, and where is your Wormabago parked today?
Hi, Michael. I'm doing really well. My wife and I are in northeastern Alabama in a wonderful campground nestled away in the Appalachian Mountains.
That sounds cozy. And why are you filling in on a Saturday today? What's going on?
We're waiting with bated breath for the announcement of a new Vedati entering the world. That should be happening hopefully any moment now.
Yes, we hopefully will have breaking news during this show. Our co-host, Mr. Nima Vedati, is in the hospital with his wife, Jessica. They went in last night, and they're going to have a baby most likely today. And it's going to happen, and we may be having breaking news live here on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Show. We're pretty excited about that. It's going to be their first kid, and I'm going to set an announcement when the kid's here to Talkers Magazine, and it will be news because it's pretty rare for a talk radio show host to be having their first child. Most of the time, if you see an announcement for a talk radio host, it's, you know, they're having their third great-grandchild or something, but the Freedom Fiends are a little younger and hipper. I'm 50. But Nima's 29, which is baby age for talk radio hosts generally. And yeah, Ben, what do you think?
So yeah, if it doesn't happen today, it's because doctors don't always know as much as they know, as much as they think they know when it comes to, you know, dating when a baby is going to be born. My wife and I, with our first son, it took a week. She was in the hospital for a week. And then he was born, and they figured out, well, you know what? He was probably about another week early. So they really don't, you know, it's wild guesses. If they knew half as much as they think they'd know, they'd know twice as much as they actually know.
Well, she went into labor, Nima's wife, Jessica. I mean, it's not like they just looked at their calendar and said, let's go to the hospital. They're actually about 4 days past the 9 month in weeks due date. But was that the case with Cindy, with your kid? Your first kid?
Yeah, she was right in the due date area, and labor started and stopped and started and stopped, and that went on for a full week. It was, and I was living in a tent at the time because the hospital that we were using was like a 2.5 hour drive from our house, so I just stayed in a tent during the whole week.
Wow, that's really freewheeling and freaky there, Ben. You, are you a hippie? You're kind of more of a biker type, aren't you?
Yeah. When I was young, in my young days, I was sort of a beach bum type, not a very good surfer, mostly hanging around with motorcycle gangs and stuff.
Did you own a surfboard?
I never did. I always, you know, just bummed one or borrowed one or stole, you know.
Stole? Well, I hope you made amends.
Well, then return it.
Yeah, well, babies, you can have a labor that doesn't result in a baby. Actually, it's very common with first children, but I was the fourth child, and my parents had my mother went into labor, and they went to the hospital and then came back without a baby, and she was still pregnant. It was a false labor. So the second time, since my brothers and sisters, who were all teenagers at the time, were all, where's the baby? You know, they didn't want to get their hopes up again. And I hope we're not doing that here today, but, you know, hopefully a baby will be imminent and will be announced maybe during the show. Who knows? But the second time when I was actually born, my parents didn't want to get my brothers and sisters' hopes up. So they just said that they were going down to Lake Erie to watch the sunset. Then they came back with me springing wildly into the world in 1964, in May of 1964.
Well, since we're on that topic, on with my wife and I on our third child, we timed it a lot better. We knew we had a better feeling of when it was coming and everything. We got to the hospital and they were just overwhelmed with work. And so basically the nurse and I at my wife's hospital bed delivered the baby. A midwife showed up right at the end, and the doctor came in about an hour later.
The doctor came in and took credit for it, huh?
Yeah, he signed the papers and collected the money.
Yeah. And, you know, people think it's crazy when libertarians like us say things like, I don't think that people should have to have regulation. You know, I don't think people should have to have medical school and training to practice medicine. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of situations where that could happen. I mean, I think a lot of nurses can do a lot of things that doctors do. And I think that a lot of paralegals do the work for the lawyers, although a lot of lawyers work really hard. But my dad always said paralegals are the people that do the work, and then the lawyer goes golfing and then collects the check. But, you know, there's a lot of situations where licensing can get in the way of good business being conducted. You know, I mean, ridiculous things that are just, you know, some of them make sense. Like people could say, yeah, well, it makes sense. You don't want someone operating on you who hasn't proven that they can do that because they might kill you. But things like cutting hair or dog walking, in a lot of places that has to be licensed. And that is simply rent seeking by politicians and governments. You know, you don't really need a license to cut someone's hair. You shouldn't need a license to cut someone's hair. That's what I think. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, that's exactly the truth. There's every opportunity. And this is one of the things that people say about, well, we need to get small government. We need to get back to small government. We need to shrink government down. But the problem with that is those types of regulations are made by small government and enforced by small government. And a small tyranny is still a tyranny, even if it's just, you know, the city council in your town deciding that you have to ask their permission to put up a TV or a radio antenna or something, which is, I just got an email the other day from one of my listeners that that's exactly what happened. They passed an ordinance in town, and all of a sudden, everybody who has had up a radio antenna, like in his case, he's a ham operator, all of a sudden, he has to pay $1,000 permit
wow.
to continue having his ham radio. And that's just because a little council of, you know, half a dozen tyrants that think they're more important than they really are have the power. And when they have the power, they use the power.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, a city council actually has more ability and more likelihood to destroy your life than, like, Barack Obama has. You know, we complain about Obama all day, but, I mean, there was a guy in Casper that was running amok up against the sheriff for a long time. And he was one of these sovereign citizen types. And, you know, the thing with that is, like, I absolutely believe that they're right when they say that people shouldn't have power over them. But I think that the place that they make a mistake is thinking that there are magic words that you can say in court, or Masonic hand signals, or writing your name in all caps or anything like that, and it's going to make it go away. But, you know, the guy actually, like, ran for sheriff here because he was so sick of battling with the sheriff. And then the last time I voted for this guy, and the guy was not someone I wanted. I was just voting against, you know, I was just voting for the underdog just to be a punk. I think I threw away my vote to vote for this guy. And, you know, he lost, of course. He got like 3% of the vote, which is pretty stunning. But yeah, I think the county, like, took away his land on some, you know, like, he had cars in his front yard or something like that. They do things like that. City councils all over the world and all over America probably have more power, you know, to ruin your life. Like, they can take your house if your fence is 6 feet 2 inches instead of 6 feet tall and you don't change it. You know, something that not only doesn't harm anybody, but nobody notices. And they'll come after you for things like that. I'm not saying necessarily in this town or in any other town, but in a particular town. But they have the power to do that. I mean, I kind of look at Barack Obama as this distant, weird guy in this land of Mordor by the Potomac, you know, who, like, I complain about him all the time, but I have not personally had my life harmed by him in any way. But I've had, let's see, an example was, we had a water pipe leak in our front yard, and one of the neighbors, instead of coming to me and telling me about it, and I would have gotten it taken care of, you know, she called the city because she thought that's what you're supposed to do. And the city came and told me if I didn't fix it in 3 days, I was going to get a fine. So I had to get somebody right away to do it. And it was a tiny little pinhole leak. It was like a little puddle in the yard. And I had to pay double to get someone to come fix it immediately. Whereas if the lady had just knocked on my door and said, hey, you know, you have a water leak, I would have said, thanks for being a good neighbor, and called somebody and probably got them there 6 days later. And, you know, the puddle would have been 8 feet long. It was a puddle, man. It was like less than you get when the rain comes. So, yeah. Local city councils, it's just another layer of bureaucracy. And it's also like with whatever Barack Obama does, you know, like 535 people have the power to block it or decide it or filibuster it. You know, with the city council, it's like one person can make decisions that can get your property taken away. Because city councils are usually 5 or 6 people. And when it's a tie vote, there's often one guy or one lady that can ruin your life by just however their whims are going that day.
Yeah, in the case of my hometown where we actually own property and live, the city council there is run with an iron fist by a guy who's been mayor for, you know, at least 20 years that I know of. And he is not going to be anything other than mayor until he decides otherwise.
He's the king of that town, man. The king. Now, is that one of those towns where the mayor is just a figurehead and there's actually like a city, what do they call him, city manager? Or is it run by a mayor?
No, he runs it. He is the little boss hog of that town. And one time, a guy tried to run against him, the local donut guy from the donut house, tried to run against him, and things turned bad really quick. There were arrests on cocaine distribution, and then all of a sudden, all the charges are dropped, and it turns out they didn't have any evidence, but the guy running against him dropped out of the race anyway.
So what?
Very mysterious.
And this guy probably wasn't someone who did cocaine or sold cocaine to anyone's knowledge.
Oh,
huh?
No.
They probably just had the powder on the donuts and said, yeah, we're going to call this cocaine until we can get it tested.
Literally, the guy's donut shop. Oops. There's our music.
Yeah. And we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends Talk Musical Radio Show after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Talk radio, musical, power hour, entertainment for your dendrites. And this is Mr. Michael W. Dean on the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from my windowless mobile command unit. And we've got Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great, Michael. It's great to be on the radio with you.
Yeah. And we wanted to talk a little bit about Defense Distributed, our friend Cody Wilson, who made the printable gun. Do you want to read about his little email, his email he sent out here today? Do you have it, Ben?
Yeah. I'll just read this as it's written. So this is coming from Defense Distributed. This is their official news, what do you call that? News release, yeah. So it says, Dark Wallet Campaign Finale. There are just under 40 hours left in the official Dark Wallet campaign at Indiegogo, where we've raised over $50,000. In Bitcoin, we've raised another $50,000. And so the campaign has been a success by any measure. But if you were considering contributing, don't miss your chance. Supporters are still invited to customize their perk selection in the coming days by email. We also invite you to follow team development updates at Unsystem Wiki. That's UNSYSTEMWIKI. And he provides a link there. Thank you for all your support.
Pretty good reading for Ben. Ben is brilliant at talking, but I've had you read things before on the air. If it's after like 4 PM, you're kind of like, I can't find my glasses. Yeah, we both kind of fade in the afternoon. That was pretty good.
Yes. Man. Senility is working its magic on my brain every day. I feel it creeping onto me faster and faster.
Yeah, and you're pretty on it in the morning. But the second hour of our show is in the afternoon, so we'll probably just take some calls in the second hour today.
Yeah. This hour, I'm talking like this. An hour from now, I'll be saying, "What, Michael?
I can't hear you. I can't find my glasses to see my interwebs." Yeah. So we're not gonna talk nonstop about Bitcoin and things like that. But we've done a couple like solid hours of it, and people are like, "I don't know what that is." But this is gonna be the Bitcoin minute, basically. Yeah. Cody Wilson invented the printable gun, and we're gonna talk in the next segment about how that got outlawed by Congress. Well, sort of. They didn't really specify, but Bitcoin is a technology, a distributed, pseudo-anonymous way of people sending currencies to each other. And there's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of people making fortunes and losing fortunes in it. And a lot of people say you should just get gold and silver instead. And we are fans of gold and silver. And we do want to say that that is a traditional gift for someone's first child. And Nima Vedati's wife is in the hospital right now with Nima. And she's probably going to have her first child today. So if anyone wants to get them a gift of gold and silver, you can go to the freedomfiends.com site and click on the Midas Resources link over on the right. But Cody Wilson is working on, he basically revolutionized firearms and had an act of Congress against him, which, you know, I would love to do something that 15 months later Congress rushes to outlaw it. I really think that is getting things done in my perception of the word. But he's working on this thing called Dark Wallet, which is a way of mixing different Bitcoin payments securely and without losing any of them, so nobody can see where your money's coming or going from. And that's what he's working on. It sounds like a worthwhile project to me, and hopefully he'll finish it soon, and then hopefully within 15 months Congress will rush to outlaw it, because I think that really means that you're making a difference in this world when Congress has to try to write things down on paper to stop you when, you know, it's already out in the world and nobody can stop it. Nobody can stop printable firearms now. But we wanted to go ahead.
I really consider Cody Wilson a liberty hero.
Yeah.
I really think he is a true hero in his work and what he's doing.
Yeah, and people throw that word around a lot, but I think it fits with him. I mean, a hero is somebody who sacrifices or risks their life or liberty for strangers. That's the literal definition of a hero. And he's done that. I mean, he is possibly facing, you know, federal prison. He's gotten letters from the government saying, stop doing what you're doing. He stopped doing it, and he went on to something else that is currently legal, and there's no reason it should be illegal, but it probably will be regulated or outlawed at some point. So Cody Wilson is our today's Freedom Fiends profile of people who are making a difference, and we like that about him.
You know, I should mention also that silver and gold are also traditional holiday gifts for Christmas.
Yeah, so if you want to send some to the Freedom Fiends, you can go to our site. Or if you want to send some to Ben or to another loved one of yourself, we'll be back with more after this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Right. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Talk Musical Radio Show here on the Genesis Communications Network. And we're talking about Cody Wilson, great American hero who invented the printable gun. And they have rushed to Congress to try to outlaw this. But as usual with Congress, they didn't quite get it right. And, you know, thankfully there was some argument about it. All the Republicans didn't throw the people under the bus. Some of them kind of fought back a little bit and pushed back a little bit. But there are Republicans who back this. I mean, that guy from New York, what's his name? The one that used to give money to the Irish Republican Army. King, I forget. There's two guys named King, not the one from Iowa, but the one from New York. That guy's a gun-grabbing Republican. And there are some gun-grabbing Republicans. But go ahead and read this, Ben. This little bit from the interwebs.
Okay, this is the U.S. Senate extends gun ban, rejects bid address 3D plastic firearms. And it says, the U.S. Senate gave final approval on Monday to a bill to renew a ban against firearms that can pass undetected through metal detectors, but rejected calls to update the law in response to the advent of plastic guns made with 3D printers.
It's not clear whether this outlaws Cody's printable gun, because his printable gun is all plastic except for a nail, which could be considered undetectable by some technologies. But Cody also said in his blueprints to add a chunk of metal into the handle to counterbalance it and to, you know, to make it more ergonomic, but also to make it detectable. But, you know, the Congress critters are saying, well, someone could take this out. And so read on a little bit there about how it's not really clear, and they wanted to outlaw printable guns, and that's why they rushed this to Congress, but they didn't really quite succeed, or we're not sure. It'll be up to cops can arrest you if you have a printable gun, and then you have to prove in court probably that it's legal or something. Go ahead and read, Ben.
On a voice vote, the Democratic-led Senate passed the bill, which would extend for 10 years the Undetectable Firearms Act of 1988. The Republican-led House of Representatives approved the bill last week and, like the Senate, refused to pass tougher provisions opposed by the powerful gun industry. President Barack Obama signed the legislation into law before the ban was to expire at midnight. Along with many fellow Democrats, Obama would prefer an updated version of the ban to close what are seen as loopholes created by new technologies such as 3D printing, an aide said. Senate Democrats, led by Charles Schumer of New York, failed on Monday to win quick approval of a measure to require all firearms to include at least 3.7 ounces of non-removable metal.
Okay, shut it down, Jack. Shut it down, Jack. You know, Schumer, polite people on prepper boards, when they want to say when the you know what hits the fan, but they don't want to cuss, they say when the Schumer hits the fan. So his name has literally become a dirty word in the liberty communities. And it's kind of interesting, too, that Obama signed this with a auto pen. He signed it with an auto pen while taking pictures of himself at Nelson Mandela's funeral while a schizophrenic lunatic was standing next to him that the Secret Service somehow let get next to him, who was doing sign language, but was like not doing sign language. The guy was just making things up, and there was some random words in sign language, but the rest was just kind of like gesticulating. It kind of reminded me when I saw the video, it kind of reminded me of like how a rapper will have the hype man, you know, the guy next to the rapper who just kind of folds his arms and goes, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that was like his schizophrenic hype man, which kind of fits and makes sense for the Obama administration and the level of competence of the people that Obama's been surrounding himself with. You know, I guess what you could say of this sign language guy is good enough for government work. And I really actually think that some of the stuff that Obama does, he does intentionally to make, you know, right-wing radio pundits just spend too much time going, oh my God, look at the, and talk for an hour about the lunatic they let stand next to the president. So they don't notice what the other hand is doing, which is auto-penning, you know, outlawing a certain kind of gun remotely from another country. It's kind of weird that they auto-pen it too. Like in this age of digital signature and encryption, where you can have something that proves somebody did something and actually signed it, you know, with encryption certificates. And we're going to get into that more later and how that's going to save liberty. You know, they still have to like do this old timey thing of we need a pen on paper. So they have an auto pen, which is like an old technology way of doing it remotely. What do you think of all that, Ben?
Well, what do you expect from an office that we're supposed to respect no matter who's in there, where for what, 20 some years, they had the default password on the nuclear football that was like 000 or whatever, 111 or password, yeah, or whatever it was?
Yeah, I'm assuming what that is, you know, Northrop Grumman or whoever made the bomb system. You know, it, when you open up the nuclear football, there's probably a little Nixie tube screen there that says, you know, thank you for your purchase of the 1962 Fissionator nuclear football. The default password is 00000. Please change your password. And just no one did it, you know, because it was easy enough to remember. That's what I think.
Or every 6 months it comes up, it's time to change your password again. So they would just change it back to 0000.
Yeah, they would just click no. Just if it was a new computer, it would be like, do you want to change your bad password? And then they just click like, no, like later. Alert me in 1 month kind of thing. Yeah, so Cody Wilson is a great American hero. I'm actually going to see if we can get him to call in the second hour and talk about what he's doing. But Bitcoin is on everyone's mind, but I'm actually looking more into Namecoin. I have some Bitcoin. You know, you got to have some gold, some silver, some brass, some lead, some land, some cars. You got to have a little bit of everything. You don't want to put all your eggs in one Batman, as Nima Vedati says. But I've been very interested in Namecoin recently because Namecoin, and I'm not going to go into this in depth. People can go to the Freedom Fiends blog at freedomfiends.com/blog, or you can go to freedomfiends.com and click on the kitty cat sitting on the computer over on the right and go to the blog. I have a post up there about Namecoin. Namecoin can actually be used for a distributed DNS system. Now, DNS systems are the government-controlled corporation that when you register a domain name, it has to go through whatever registration company you use. It has to go through Internic, which is a corporation controlled by the government. So when you type in freedomfiends.com, you know, Internic owns the servers that keep the records of like it actually converts it to an IP address and sends it to where your website really lives. The government controls that and can shut it down, and they do shut it down. And if you're listening and thinking like, I don't know what Bitcoin is, I've heard of it, isn't that like an Xbox game or something? I heard like 6% of America thinks it's an Xbox game, you know, in a recent survey. Bitcoin is the thing that's going to change the world. And you've heard this before. You've heard there's something new that's going to change the world. This is going to change the world. And there's a spinoff of it called Namecoin that actually contains a distributed database system. So you can set up a domain name and the government can't shut it down. This is going to be extremely important when censorship and control by control freaks who, you know, run the world because you said, well, you got to vote for somebody and you got to respect the office of the president, even if you don't like the man. I don't respect the office. I really don't. And I don't think you got to vote for somebody if it's the lesser of two evil, because I think that 220 some years of that has led to unadulterated evil. Absolutely. You know, so there's this thing called Namecoin, and I have some friends that are working on something that's going to enable Namecoin to work with any computer with a browser plugin in a way that websites cannot be censored or shut down. How cool is that, Ben?
That is pretty cool. It's a little confusing to me because I haven't looked into this completely, so I might have some dumb questions for you.
Well, I cybersquatted benstone.bit, so when you're ready for it, you'll have it. Because people are going on and cybersquatting because it basically costs 7 cents to register a domain. Someone squatted your name, badquaker.bit, and antiwar.bit, and freedomainradio.bit, and FTL, and LRN, and noagenda.bit. But I grabbed benstone.bit, scotthorton.bit, o'reilly.bit, boingboing.bit, freetalklive.bit, and noagendaglobalradio.bit for friends of mine who own those in the .com or .org realm. And when they finally go and realize in a year, I have to get a .bit address, and they go to look that up, it's going to go to a website that says, "Hi, this is Michael Dean. I've cybersquatted this for you, and I will sell it to you for 7 cents when you want it. You know, I'm not going to try to make a profit on this. I'm just saving these things for my friends, basically." Because
unless the dollar has hyperinflated and that 7 cents is, if it actually takes $3,000 to make that 7 cents.
Then I'll just do it in Namecoin. They can pay me in 0.01 Namecoin, which is what it cost me to register these.
And that'll work.
You can't yet actually go type in, you know, freedomfiends.bit was cybersquatted. So I got fiends.bit. And you can't just type it in and view it on your computer. You have to actually change your DNS servers to one of the few DNS servers that actually reports back and has the DNS.bit thing. But my friends are working on a computer program that's going to be a free browser plugin that's, you know, just click on it, add it on your smartphone or on your computer, and you'll be able to search the whole .bit internet pretty soon. So that's what I'm helping some people with. And that's, we're building the roads of cyberspace. You know, people say, without the government, who would build the roads? Well, at least the roads of cyberspace, who would build them? My buddies, and I'm helping. I am their worm wrangler. I'm the chief worm wrangler of their company. That's what we're calling it.
It's the cutting edge of the new coming internet that's gonna be there when the government tries to shut down the old one.
Yeah, you know, there's the term Internet 2.0. Like Internet 1.0 was the internet, like 1994, 1995. You know, you could do a lot of work and pay money and pay by the hour to get on the internet and use it, and it was kind of difficult. There wasn't a lot there. There was like black text with a gray background and grainy pictures occasionally, and it was really hard to use, and AOL sent you those disks in the mail whether you wanted them or not. And that was Internet 1.0. And Internet 2.0 was social networking. It was like, you know, first was, I don't know, what was before MySpace? There was something before that. Well, YouTube's been around for about since about the year 2000, but you know, basically Internet 2.0 or Web 2.0 is the ability to share things and have a website without having to learn HTML coding and go get a web host. You know, basically it's the, everyone can do it. Grandma can do it. Everyone in the world can talk to you on the internet, and you kind of wish they wouldn't sometimes. But Web 3.0 is now. It's Bitcoin and Namecoin. Bitcoin is payments that can't be shut down or controlled, and Namecoin is an internet and web that can't be shut down and controlled. We'll have more when we get back from the free market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends roaming talk radio show. Today we're at the West Side Walmart parking lot in Casper here in the Wormabago. You can come by and say hi and have some coffee with us, and just look for the Winnebago with the satellite dish on the roof. And we got Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and his Winnebago out there. This is a show where two old men and their Winnebagos talk on the radio while they're out solving mysteries with their wives during retirement. Right, Ben?
That is 100% almost correct.
Yeah. So we were talking about Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy, and we got off into a tangent about Namecoin, a Bitcoin spinoff that allows you to make websites that the government cannot shut down. And I have friends working on a plugin for that. There's an app for that. Avoiding government censorship, there's an app for that, or there will be soon. So I want to play something from Cody Wilson from the first interview he ever did a year ago, August, so about 15 months ago, before he came up with a printable gun, when he was talking about it. And I got him on as an interview on the Gumbo podcast. And I want to play a minute of this because it's mostly me talking, but it's kind of him interviewing me about halfway through the interview. It kind of switched. And he's asking me, you know, I'm basically saying, I think if you do this right, Congress will outlaw it. And I think the Republicans will join it in outlawing it. And some of them did. So here I want to play this little bit of Cody Wilson in his first ever interview talking about the printable gun 15 months ago.
I mean, here's the thing for me. How do you expect outside of the liberty community that this would go down? I mean, I might as well ask you, you know, like, what do you think will be the reaction to this? Let's say if we were to get some kind of wider audience.
Well, most people are idiots. So you're going to get a lot of haters, both from the anti-gun people and the gun people. That is my prediction.
We'd be betrayed by the conservatives in any way?
What's that?
Do you think we'd be betrayed by the conservatives?
I don't know what you mean by betrayed, but I think I could totally see a Republican trying to pass a law against this once it comes out.
Yeah, that's a shame. It really is.
I really think the next big round of gun control is going to come from Republicans, or at least with Republican backing. There's no difference anymore. They're both tyrants, always have been, but really are now.
I mean, I agree with you, right? But I mean, how do you see that practically playing out? Like, when would that happen? I mean, what are the conditions for how it happens?
Well, most Republicans are NRA types. I mean, the NRA is friggin' huge, and they're the biggest, most powerful lobbying group there is. The NRA is really powerful and really square. And the average NRA gun owner, you know, probably has a deer rifle in their closet, goes out hunting a few times a year. A lot of them have concealed carry permits and carry a gun.
I have a concealed carry permit, but I actually live in a state where you no longer need it. Anybody can carry
it. Okay, so it goes off there. But yeah, that's basically like, I just wanted to play getting on record of us having on record 15 months ago talking about how the Cody, if Cody Wilson succeeds in this thing of making printable guns, which at that point was like science fiction. People were saying, you know, like experts were saying, there's no way you can fire a gun with a plastic barrel all made out of plastic without it blowing up in your hand. But there's video of it. He did it, and Congress acted to outlaw it, or try to. They kind of half outlawed it. And I'd really love to, you know, if he's listening and wants to call in, we're going to give out the call in number in the second hour. And anybody could call in and talk about this too, but I'm really curious, you know, what this law really means, if they were really able to outlaw it or not. What do you think, Ben? Do you think plastic gun, you know, printable guns are legal now or not? We don't really know.
Well, there's a book out called Three Felons a Day.
Three Felonies a Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Three Felonies a Day, I should have said. And the part of the premise of the book is that the laws are currently being written so poorly and so vaguely that they're pretty much open for interpretation. And it's done, according to the book, it's done somewhat on purpose so that the law can be vague enough that you can either, the people in authority can either choose to use it against us or give us a pass. And they can do that pretty much at their whim.
Well, that's the reason drugs are still illegal, especially pot, especially like something that is proven to have medical uses and is way safer than tobacco and alcohol. They want to keep it illegal so they can still have a reason to, you know, to jam you up. And we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio, two old men retired in their Winnebagos driving around the country show when we get back. And I'll be looking for breaking news from the Nima Vidati family. No news yet. Don't know if they've had their baby, but they're in the hospital. And things are going well and as planned. So we may have a new fiend in the world before the end of the show. We'll be back with more after this trip to the free market on the Freedom Fiends. Worms. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Right. This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza Hour for 2 hours. This is hour two. This is Mr. Michael Dean. And on the other end, we got Mr. Bad Quaker, the Ben Stone, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, filling in for Nima Vidati, who is in the hospital with his lovely wife, who is about to have their first child. And we celebrate that. We encourage people to if you want to donate, you know, for their child, for their college fund, for the celebration, you can donate by PayPal or Bitcoin or Litecoin. Just go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post, or you could go over to the Midas Resources button and buy gold and silver for yourself or for Lily Vidati. Lily Vidati, the newest Vidati in the Vidati tribe. And we're going to give out the call-in number here. This second hour, we're having calls. It's 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Hey, Ben, did you read this thing about Bernie Sanders, the one admitted socialist in Congress, the Vermont Democrat, is wanting to, he's putting a bill forth to try to have single-payer health care. Do you know about this?
Well, I was trying to read about it, but the mainstream media is really kind of ignoring it. They're more interested in, you know, finding out about the guy that was standing next to Obama making weird motions with his arms than actually telling us about, you know, real news that's sitting there.
We have a caller, and it's Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy. Can you hear us there, Cody?
Hey, I'm here. Michael, what's up?
Hey, man. Thanks for calling in. What are you doing today? Are you out doing, like, change the world stuff, or are you doing normal guy Christmas stuff?
I'm with my significant other, my lovely girlfriend. We're cutting down Christmas trees at a Christmas tree farm.
That's great. That sounds really square, and I like things that are really square from really hip people. You know, our co-host, Mr. Nima Vidati, also lives in Austin, and he is in the hospital with his wife having their first child today. So it's
congratulations to him. That's fantastic.
Yep. I'll let him know. So Ben Stone, the bad Quaker's on the other line there. But we know your time's limited. But so did Obama just outlaw your guns with an auto pen, or are they still legal, or we don't know your printable guns?
Well, it's a no with an asterisk. Basically, they took the language of these laws since the 80s and just changed the dates on it for another 10 years. But the point I couldn't get any of these Republicans to really get a hold of is that the regulations guiding this law have never been written before, because it was always until now a fake law that didn't say anything. Now that it regulates something, this gives Eric Holder and this president the chance to write the guiding regulations of this law. So it gives Obama a chance to write how you can legally make a detectable firearm.
Yeah, it was a fake law because it was based on fear of something in a Bruce Willis movie where the Glock was a new gun, and they said, yeah, there's this new gun called the Glock, and it's plastic, and it can't be picked up by an X-ray machine, which is absolutely not true. There's a lot more metal in a Glock than there is plastic, and they definitely can be picked up by an X-ray or the backscatter ones they have now. Can your gun be picked up by the modern techniques that they use for detecting firearms?
Yes, and that's a savvy question. And the law itself actually takes account of advances in digital imaging technology. So everyone was kind of disingenuous with talking about these guns being on the planes. Yes, a hunk of plastic defeats magnetometers, but as we all know, magnetometers aren't the primary means of imaging, especially in modern security theater. We have backscatter X-ray, millimeter wave, full body scanners. These things can detect the densities that this plastic gun has, and quite visibly.
Would they be able to detect it if somebody took out the metal you suggest putting in for ballast?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, they can detect shape and density. And I mean, I've seen these images, like, pick up boxes of matches in a guy's pocket and stuff. I mean, we're talking about a totally different paradigm of imaging. And, again, that's why I accuse a lot of the kind of familiar faces, the New York gun control Democrats, of a measure of bad faith by saying, well, we're just trying to keep these things off of airplanes. No, it's really trying to get your hooks into how we develop weapons into the next generation.
Yeah, you used the phrase security theater. I really like that one. It's really accurate, because the TSA hasn't stopped anybody. The FBI only stops people generally that they set up. They find the dumbest kid at the mosque and say, hey, you should drive these explosives. And they give him the explosives, and they're not really explosives. And then they arrest him and say, we protected you. Give us more money. Yeah, so it's all theater and attempts to control us in every way, right?
Exactly, or at least concurrent attempts at self-justification, right? So the example of this guy in Kansas who was about to blow up that airport, now we need the TSA, and conversations about why we need the TSA armed, and it's all built toward reinforcement and self-justification of what are essentially ritualistic procedures, right? We all feel better because we have to take off our pants before we get on our airplane.
So you've moved on and left the printable gun project to the world, and you've moved on to another project, Dark Wallet. Do you want to tell us about that and where you are at with that?
No, I would like to. I would like, with a caveat though, that I have not left printed guns. The government took them from me, right? So I do expect at some point that we'll get to fight some significant or bring significant legal challenges to what the State Department has done to us and what the administration has taken as a position, but the time is not right for that at the moment. So you'll hear more from me on the issue, and it's an issue that's near and dear to my heart. So it's with a heavy heart that I had to just kind of pivot and go to this next project, but I wanted to stay active. And so this next project was a Bitcoin privacy project that we started at the end of the summer. We call it the Dark Wallet. And I can show you that our heads are in the right place, because just this month, a number of Bitcoin privacy projects have kind of come to the fore, sparecoins.io from San Francisco, and CryptoKit, which is a browser-based wallet in, from Toronto, headed up by Anthony Delorio of the Bitcoin Alliance. So there's a number, this space is heating up, and it's a space for Bitcoin in your browser and pro-privacy. And basically, we want to introduce techniques that further anonymize your Bitcoin transactions and take care of you, the user, and your dignity and your financial integrity.
Excellent. I'm working on a project with a couple friends that involves Namecoin. Do you know what Namecoin is?
Yeah. It's the Bitcoin DNS project, right?
Yep. And a couple buddies of mine are working on a plugin and a system for being able to have websites, .bit websites that are viewable by anybody that can't be shut down by the government or any government.
Yeah, this is great. Whoever can get the first great usable, you know, alternative DNS, whether that's through the blockchain or another project, I mean, it's a huge step toward anarchy.
Yep. So I know you're busy and you're out shopping for Christmas presents and Christmas trees. How can people help you and with your defense distributed projects like Dark Wallet?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, I'd ask that people sign up for a newsletter on our website, but the Dark Wallet campaign's in its final, 48 hours. So you can go to Indiegogo, look at Dark Wallet. You can throw PayPal or Bitcoin our way, and we do appreciate it. We had a big Congress in Milan. We've got the developers on the way. We're producing new tools just about every week that you can see us release, libraries and Python tools, and it's great. It's a cool, wonderful time, and we'd appreciate the support.
And the website is defdist.org, right? defdist.org.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You.
Take care, brother man.
All right, you too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, that was Cody Wilson on the Freedom Fiends. Cody Wilson is the printable gun guy, and he's also now he's the use Bitcoin without it being able to be seen guy, the dark wallet guy. So if you want to call in on the Freedom Fiends, the number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Are you still there, Ben?
I'm here. I was just enjoying listening to Cody talking.
Ben, are you still there on the interwebs?
Yeah.
It's afternoon now. Are you going to start to fade by the last 5 minutes? Are you going to be talking like that?
I probably will.
Cool.
I do fade as the afternoon comes on and as Alzheimer's kind of creeps in.
I remember when I was about 25, my mother told me, aging is not for the timid, Michael. And I was like, what? I don't know. I don't need to worry about that. But now that I'm 49 and three quarters, I'm starting to think about it. So, yeah, Bernie Sanders. So the only news here is that it's not news, like, and that it happened so quickly. You know, we all kind of figured, we've been talking about, like, they made this website that doesn't work, and we thought it was intentional. We thought they're trying to hide the fact that it doesn't work. It was just a half measure, and then they're going to try to put in UK-style single-payer healthcare. And Bernie Sanders, the one admitted socialist in Congress, is put forth a bill for it. Although, if you search the name of the bill, nothing comes up yet. For some reason, the thing that comes up first on Google is the article about the New Deal, which kind of makes sense because I think some of the same language is in there. So, yeah, they're trying to put through the New Deal. They pass one law that doesn't work, and then they try to say they go for the thing they were really going for, which is like the printable gun thing. Like, they passed a law. It doesn't really outlaw these yet, but it's a step towards just regulating the way everything is done with guns. We have a caller here. We're going to go to the phones. Let's see. We have William in Austin, Texas, talking about Obama's African interpreter and 3D printing. You there, William?
I am. Hello, Michael, and hello, Ben.
Hey, what's up? Good to have you on.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, I was pretty good. You guys are doing great. So just a little background on that African interpreter. I read an article from RT that said this guy, basically, he had a schizophrenic episode. Going back to 94, he faced rape charges, theft charges, housebreaking, malicious damage to property, murder, attempted murder, kidnapping charges. They said that those things were filed in the court in Africa in November of 2006, but the court file for the case is completely empty. He said that he lost concentration, he began hearing voices and suffered from hallucinations, which apparently included angels He said he did not know what got on the attack.
If I were a conspiracy theorist, I would say some government agency from some government, you know, probably maybe put some weaponized LSD in his cup of tea before he went on. Who knows? I mean, does South Africa have something that's the equivalent of the CIA? I'm sure they do. Every nation does. But I don't know. I guess my comment on it is maybe not go to conspiracy theory, maybe use Occam's razor and say, you know, the easiest explanation is the best. And it's just, that's the way the Obama administration is. And, you know, the attitude is good enough for government work, or the Secret Service, who are supposed to vet anybody who gets within, you know, 100 yards or 1,000 yards of the president, let alone standing on a stage next to him being his hype man. You know, they were probably out visiting ladies of the night. That's happened in a few other places. And we want to thank you for your call, William. And this is the Freedom Fiends talk radio musical show, Worms. We'll be right back after this trip to the market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio, Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is the Freedom Fiends talk radio musical extravaganza hour with Michael W. Dean. That's me, broadcasting from the Wormabago out here in the West Side Walmart parking lot in Casper. And you got to remember, though, that when this plays in Casper, it's delayed. It's played an hour after the show is over. So so if you come by, we might still be out there, though. So if you see us, come out and have some coffee with us. And we got Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, on the other end there. How you doing, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker?
Hey, Michael. It's good to be on the radio with you today.
Yeah, we have some amazing news here. Mr. Nima Vidati is taking the day off because he's out having a baby with his wife. His wife's having a baby. They're in the hospital. And he's sending me emails from his chromed robot turret, his little cell phone thing. His little cell phone that the youngsters use that have the electronic mails. He wrote me during the break. I told him that Cody Wilson wished him best of luck, and he said, great. He wrote back, said thanks, and said, we're 3D printing a human here. And and then he wrote me and said, call Ron Paul. We're 8 centimeters dilated. So I got the second part. I didn't know about the first part. I had to think about it. Ron Paul, oh, yeah, he's a baby catcher. Like, he's not just this guy who brought liberty to the Congress or tried to and, you know, got run out after 40 years or something. But he was also a baby catcher. He's a doctor who delivered thousands of babies. I've actually heard that's how he got elected, was everyone in his district, he delivered, so they voted for him. I kind of like that. I mean, that's – talk about, like, you know – if you have if you believe in representational democracy, that someone can actually make decisions for you and represent you, why not have a guy who brought you into the world with his hands? That's pretty cool. I mean, he cares about you, you know? He knows you. He knows you in a way.
That's pretty wild.
Few people know you. Yeah. So we're waiting for updates here on the baby catching in Austin, where they're in the process of 3D printing a human using human hardware. So we're going to go back to talking about Bernie Sanders. I don't know, man. I don't want to talk about politics. I think I want to talk about the miracle of birth instead. Ben, do you want to talk about, you've got some kids and you've got a grandchild. Tell me about the first time you your wife had a child. Do you have any stories about that or any of them?
Yeah, I was talking about that a little earlier in the first hour. But they had given us the date and everything, and she went into labor right around that time. So we headed off to the hospital, which was actually about 2.5 hours drive away from where we lived. And this was in the eastern side of the Sierra Nevada mountains, way up in the little town of Bishop, which is a beautiful little town in eastern California. And so we went up there and nothing was happening. So I ended up staying in a campground in a tent for a week while she was in labor every day over and over and over until finally the baby showed up, my son. And he was a big old guy, but they took a look at him and they said, you know, he's probably still a week premature. So they were literally off by 2 weeks, and we had wasted a week up there in false labor with me, you know, sleeping on the ground in a tent the whole time.
Wow. Sleeping in a tent like a common hippie traveling the rails. Yep.
And now 1 year ago, almost to the day from Nima's baby, on the 8th of September last year, that same son brought us a grandson.
8th of December.
8th of December 2012, our son gave us a grandson, Milestone. Milestone, get that?
Yep. Yep.
And so he just turned a year, and we were kind of waiting to see if maybe Nima's baby would be born on the same date, but we missed that. But that's okay. The 14th will be a great birthday for Nima's little daughter.
Yeah, and it's she went into labor last night too, and I wasn't gonna say it, but like, oh no, born on the Friday the 13th. Not that that date has any special power, but you know, some people think it do, but some people think it do, but it don't. Some people think it does, but it doesn't. Yeah. Why is Friday the 13th a scary day to people?
The legend that I understand, and I don't know that this is a fact, but the legend that I've heard is that the Knights Templar, which were a very powerful and actually an early form of banking, they invented.
Ew,
and
ew.
And at one point in time, a kind of a conjunction between the Pope and the King of France decided that the Knights Templars were too powerful. And so in one fell swoop on one day, which happened to be a Friday the 13th, all the major Templars were arrested and brought in, and many of them tortured and forced into confessions, and their property was seized by both the church and the French crown, and the Templars essentially went into hiding or disappeared altogether.
Tupac Shakur died on a Friday the 13th, and so did Hubert Humphrey. All right, we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza Hour with Ben Stone filling in for Nima Vidati, who's in the hospital with his wife, who's having a baby. We'll be back after this trip to the free market.
worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends live radio musical extravaganza, power, security, hope, and change. Hope they don't steal our change hour. And this is Mr. Michael Dean. And on the other end, we got Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, Michael.
Ben is filling in for Nima Vadadi, who is with his dear wife, Jessica Romanowski Vadadi, who is having a baby and in the process of having a baby. And Nima emailed me that, and I wrote him back and said, you know, would it be radio friendly or not to have you call in and broadcast the birth? And he wrote back and said, LOL, I thought about that or live tweeting it, but I think the attention should be on my wife. And I wrote back, yeah, probably. And I was thinking, like, these young people today, they're tweeting while they should be. And I'm like, they can do it with one hand not looking at it. You know, these young people with their chromed robot turds. You know, they could be holding her hand and giving her total attention and tweeting with the other hand. Because that's what the kids do today to deal with stress and to deal with situations. And a lot of old people like me and Ben don't like it. We're like, these youngsters, what did you say? I remember when you...
Yeah. Yeah, back in my day, we would just put a bullet in a wife's teeth and let her chew down on it until she spit that kid out.
Yes, while working the fields, and then she'd have to go back to working the fields. And today they're all sissy about these births. They give them epidurals or painkillers, and they do it in a sterile room. That's why America's youth aren't tough anymore. No, but, yeah.
What they need is some leather to chew on.
Yeah, so... But I don't mind. I like that everybody's connected with the internets, and I don't see it as a bad thing. I see it as like the next evolution in connecting humanity, you know, because really like one person living in a giant mansion somewhere with no contact with the outside world, if someone just brought his food in and left it and he had no contact, you know, going or coming with the outside world, he wouldn't be able to produce anything or interface with anyone or network or brainstorm with people. Like really the way work gets done, it's not just buckling down and, you know, elbow grease. Like behind that, there has to be cooperation and there has to be thought and communication, and total connectivity all the time is a great way to achieve that. And I like it. I don't have a chromed robot turd. I have an old fashioned like jitterbug phone, like with the big numbers on it, with the old people phone. It doesn't have the internet. But that's because there's times when I like to be away from the internet. But when I'm home, I'm pretty much near a computer. You know, if you call me on my cell phone at home, it's probably off and I probably won't get it for 3 or 4 days. But if you email me, I'll probably get it within a few minutes. And I like that there's connectivity. There's two things I don't like about it. One is most of what is communicated on the internet is useless. Most of it is, oh, what did you have? I had a sandwich for lunch, you know. But that is still useful because that drives the technology. Because if there were some rule that you had to tweet brilliant things or you had to email brilliant things, it wouldn't be widely adopted. And the way you get things widely adopted so it's available to have these conduits to send brilliant ideas for no money to people anywhere in the world – you have to have the idiot factor. You have to have the 92% of the world that just want to talk about the sandwich they had for lunch doing it. And that creates the market to where it's there for the people who change the world, the people like Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning and Cody Wilson and these friends of mine that are building a plugin for .bit domains using Namecoin that cannot be censored by a government. You know, they do these things now where if they don't like you, they take your website and people go to your website, this brand you've built for years and years and years and put your sweat equity into. And the government, they don't even need a law. They don't even need to really say you violated law. They can just say, you know, pretend you violated law, or it's basically punishment without due process. You know, there's not a trial for it. And if you want to fight it, you have to spend years getting attorneys and spending tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars fighting it. And the government can just take your website. They can take your company just by sending a fax to ICANN and saying, this violates section 12 billion of U.S. code, blah, blah, blah. Or not even code. Like, it doesn't have to be law. It can be guidance in any of these three-letter alphabet soup government agencies that rule because people have let them, because people have voted for the lesser of two evils, because people have asked for representatives, because people have said, a republic, if you can keep it, ma'am, which is, you know, let's talk about that a little bit, Ben. What is a republic if you can keep it?
Well, that's the old quote that's attributed to Benjamin Franklin. Of course, that quote didn't actually get attributed to Benjamin Franklin until about 100 years after Franklin was dead and rotted. But
you know what they, you know what the kids say on the internet? Pics or it didn't happen. Video or it didn't happen. Audio or it didn't happen. A lot of things that are attributed to great men, top men, founding fathers, is just made up. I mean, what, you know, the thing about Washington chopping down the cherry tree and then saying, I cannot tell a lie, that did not happen. The thing about Abe Lincoln walking 6 miles barefoot in both ways uphill in the snow to return 6 cents that someone had overpaid him probably didn't happen. And Benjamin Franklin didn't say, a republic, if you can keep it, ma'am. But let's pretend he did. Let's go along with the story. And it's quoted all the time. You know, when people say America is a democracy, people say, no, it's not. It's a republic. And they quote this hagiography, this celebration of the saints of Benjamin Franklin of saying, you know, when the First Continental Congress happened and that he came out after a closed door, smoke filled room, literally like a closed session where people were locked out that they didn't want in there. And they hammered out what this government would look like. And then he came out when it was done and a lady passing by allegedly asked Ben Franklin, what kind of government are you giving us, sir? Which is ridiculous. It's like, you know, I have no control over this. I have no right. She had no representation there because it was a bunch of men in a smoke-filled room and women weren't allowed and men were, you know, her husband probably wasn't allowed or she'd already know. So the great men came out and told, you know, someone said, what kind of government are you foisting on us? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it, ma'am. Now, that is quoted by people like it's parroted, like it's gospel, even though it didn't happen. It's quoted like it's gospel, and it's quoted like it's the answer when it's really a non-answer. You know, if you say America's a democracy and someone says, no, it's a republic, if you can keep it, ma'am. And it's technically true. It's a republic, but so is Iran. So is China. So is North Korea. So was the USSR. A republic is not a good thing. A republic means instead of everybody voting on which money to be stolen where and what tyranny to be put on people where for what non-crime, you elect leaders and then they make those decisions. So I don't think people need rulers. And how would the world work if people didn't have rulers, Ben? Would there be chaos and blood flowing in the streets?
Up to about your ankles or so. Not as bad as most people. No. There would not.
Why?
You know, most of the human experience is in a stateless condition. We don't have, you know, families don't get together because there's a law that forces you to do it. We don't sit down at the dinner table with our families and talk about the events of the day, or we don't have a family reunion where everybody gets together and sees members of the family you haven't seen in a year. We don't do that because there's a law that requires you to do it. We don't go to the grocery store and buy, you know, one brand of potato chip over the other because there's a law that forces you to do it.
You did in you had to in the USSR, and that was basically a republic, or it is now. Yeah. So go on.
Yeah, so the vast majority of things that we do in our lives in functioning with other human beings is on a voluntary basis.
It's so anarchy. To have the government, it's anarchy.
It is. Yes. It's self-rule. It's us choosing to do these things on our own without affecting, you know, without harming or treading upon someone else.
Yeah.
And that's what most of life is, and that's what all of life is if there's no government there and there's no government gun pointed at you to force you to do it.
Now, what do you mean by government gun pointed at you? I've never had a gun pointed at me. What are you talking about, Ben? Explain that, please.
Why, certainly.
A gun to your head if you can keep it, sir. Yeah.
Exactly. Essentially, all government power is a gun to your head, and this is how it works. If, let's say, there's some minor violation. I was speaking earlier about a town in New York that someone was writing me about where they passed a local ordinance that said you can't have an antenna without paying a $1,000 fee for it. So, okay, so I already have my antenna up. I decide I'm not going to take my antenna down, and I'm not going to pay them their $1,000. Well, they'll first send a guy to my house. They'll first send
a letter.
Piece of paper
yeah.
to my house. Yeah. And in that piece of paper, it will threaten me. And if I ignore that, then they'll send a man with the piece of paper, usually a man, and he'll threaten me. And if I still ignore that, they'll send that same guy. He'll come back with a sheriff, with a guy in a costume. And that guy's going to have a gun. And they're going to try to get that $1,000 from you or take that antenna down. And if you follow this through far enough, the simplest rule or the simplest, not even law, just the simplest violation of any of their will, taken out to its final extreme, is a gun pointed at you. It's that sheriff coming to your house, and if you resist him, it'll be a SWAT team, and they'll throw a flashbang through your window, shoot your dog, throw you to the floor, and put a gun right to your forehead. And if you resist, they'll pull the trigger. And if you don't resist physically, they'll put you in a cage until they get their $1,000 out of you. And that's the way government works on all levels.
Yeah, and that was first explained. We call that the aggression principle. That's our name for that description of how government works. And but it was actually first said, not as short and concisely as that, but in a longer passage by Lysander Spooner in the late 1800s. And he's an interesting cat because he was a liberty guy. And he actually set up a private post office that delivered letters between Philadelphia, D.C., and New York City. And it did it cheaper and better than the federal post office. And this is the late 1800s. And Congress passed a law to outlaw doing that. So basically, you know, the federal government had this inefficient system. And it's still inefficient, and it's so inefficient, and loses so much money now, and they're still trying to keep it going. And really, the only thing it does is delivers junk mail. Junk mail is what's keeping the post office together. I guess packages, like you can send a package cheaper by mail than you can by FedEx, but I've actually had some silver stolen in the mail that I was sending a friend a while back. So we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends in our tweak and review when we get back for this trip to the market. Worms.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah. This is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza Power Hour. And we got Mr. Ben Stone filling in. How you doing there, Ben Stone, Bad Quaker?
Hey, I'm doing great, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm good. We're still waiting for the email from Nima to see if they have a baby. They probably won't because she was dilating during the show. Can I save that on radio? Sure, I can. People who listen to talk radio love babies. We love babies. We love another life in the world. And my co-host, Mr. Neem Vidati, is in the hospital right now in Austin catching a baby from his wife. And I think it'll take a while. It often takes a while for the first baby, I've heard. So I wanted to point out some kind of funny is that I'm a cartoon character now and not just in the sort of sense of people say, that guy's a cartoon character. But I'm actually a cartoon character. I'm a cartoon character. I am a belt ape, which is a hyper-intelligent ape who delivers the news in Quantum Vibe, Scott Beezer's comic book. Stephanie Murphy, who's a friend of ours, who's actually going to be filling in next month on one Sunday for Mr. Nima Vidati, is my co-anchor. She's a human, and I'm a belt ape in Quantum Vibe. So I will link that in today's show notes if you want to go look later and see me as a big beefy ape delivering the news in the future, delivering the Liberty news. So tomorrow the guest is going to be Mr. Scott Horton from formerly of Anti-War Radio, now of the Scott Horton Show. And he's a really funny guy and he's really good. And so is Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. He's a really fun guy. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, Michael. You know, I wanted to mention we were talking about Christmas gifts earlier.
Yeah.
And I know of a really good Christmas gift if you know somebody that likes historical novels or if you know somebody that's crazy about history.
Yeah.
There's a book called Abducting Arnold by my friend Becky Akers. And it is a killer book. If you think you know anything at all about Benedict Arnold, pick up this book and go to freedomfiends.com, click on the Amazon link, put in the Amazon search Abducting Arnold. It's not an expensive book. It's about 500 pages, and it is unbelievable. And yet, it's the most honest thing you're ever going to read about Benedict Arnold. It's a history of this guy that has absolutely been hidden by the powers that be.
Nice. Yeah, there's some alternative history out there, too. I mean, one that I've heard that I really like is that Sam Adams, you know, Brewer, Patriot, that guy. There's a theory that he actually fired the first shot of the Revolutionary War. You know, we're taught in high school and grade school that the American side, the guys who were fighting for freedom, did not fire the first shot, and they were waiting for the British to fire, and don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes, and don't fire until they shoot at you. So it would be morally remembered as not an act of aggression, but as an act of self-defense. There's a theory that actually has some credence that it's possible that Sam Adams took the first shot as a sniper, that he was up with a long Kentucky long rifle or whatever the rifles were. Sorry, not Kentucky long rifle, but that he was up in a nearby hotel in the second floor and took the shot secretly out the window. That's one to look up. That's a good conspiracy theory. I don't know if it's true or not. So somebody sent this thing on Facebook. Somebody was saying that I am sounding like I'm the leader of the Liberty Movement, like I'm declaring myself the leader of the Liberty Movement. Nothing could be further from the truth. this guy, Alex Armstrong, who insisted that if I quote this on the radio, I give him props for being the guy that's insulting me or just commenting. He said, does anyone else think Michael has started sounding a bit like Alex Jones? Michael sure is sure of himself and the work he's doing. He's doing a good job, but every time he starts talking himself up, I worry that he's about to declare himself the leader of the Liberty Movement. That might be something that gets lost in the translation from American to Australian. This guy's Australian. People who talk themselves up are assumed to be full of it. And then someone else said, it ain't bragging if you can back it up, Jaco Pastorius. But then Jaco Pastorius, the bass player in Weather Report, was the greatest bass player in the world and liked to tell people that. And he was beat to death in a bar for jumping up on stage and grabbing the bass player's bass. So, yeah. But there's a thing in Australia called the tall poppy syndrome, which is where people try to cut people down if they get too tall above the crowd. And I'm not trying to get tall above anybody, man. I just got things to say. And I say them. And it just, you know, I don't care. I don't want to be a leader. It's too much work. This is the Freedom Fiends.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.